Without further ado, it is my great honor, privilege to introduce our guest speaker. There are sometimes we have a guest speaker who come in the form, they wear the hat of a rav of a community. We had some rashivas of Chaim Berlin. We had some chaverim, all different types of rabbinic figures. And then we have times where we have chaverim. Chaverim get up and they present divrei zikaron. And then we've had times when we have neighbors, people who live on the block, around the corner, here and there. They present a different perspective. We have now someone that comes to us with many hats. On the one hand, Harav Uri Orlian, who is a native to Flatbush, has gone on to become one of the most popular rabbonim in Far Rockaway, in Lawrence. And Mitzad Sheni, he is a Shochen, his family. We all grew up together in the same neighborhood. And most importantly, Ukinei Chover Tov, a very, very good friend. So without further ado, it is my great privilege and honor to introduce Harav Uri Orlian to share with us some Divrei Torah and Divrei Chizuk.
The only bad part about sitting over there is I couldn't see the food on the table, and my experiences in this house are primarily focused on going through somebody else's refrigerator, go through somebody else's cabinets, and you know, it's hard now that I wear a hat and I wear a tie. I have to do it a little more delicately before I see what's in the freezer, on top of the freezer, if I remember correctly. What's that? I'll wait till people walk out, then I'll... And on top of the freeze, still on top of the freeze, the chocolate fries. Rafaim, it's so wonderful to hear. I was just transported to back a few years to when I was able to hear such incredible Divrei Torah from you, so thank you for giving me that opportunity. And, you know, whenever I come into the house, I don't get to come here as often as I can just because I don't have the opportunity. But whenever I come in, I feel so, you know, I remember when you picked out the Paisley chairs. I love the Paisley. That predates the blue. I just, you know, I always, I also want to say how wonderful it is. I see Sadi Maishir. I teach my shir in the Beis Medrash. Literally, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it. Rasadi's shir is one table. My shir is literally the next table. So Baruch Hashem is that Beis Medrash. Sadi is learning well. He's coming to shir, listening. Baruch Hashem. We should continue to keep up the learning. I had a little bit of an identity crisis. Besides maybe the ones that Mrs. Ehrenpreis knows about, besides those. When I was about 19 or 20, I think, my name is Uri, so I just assumed Uri means my light. When I was about 19 or 20, I realized, especially given that some of you know my father is a professor of Hebrew, so that's sort of why it should have taken that long, I sort of realized that if my name means my light, so it should be Uri. That's Or Shali, Uri, which is not my name. Ur, Shali, Uri means Ur is. That's with an ayin. With both with an aleph. Wake up is with an ayin. Uri means my flame or fire, and that's really coming from where Chazal see in this morning's parasha about Ur Kasdim. The Avram comes from Ur Kasdim, and that which Rashi quotes on the pasuk Ur Kasdim is. Rashi points out that Avram, of course, is thrown into this Kivshan HaEsh, and that's the fire, is the flames of Kas, and that's the source for Chazal, where they got the tradition that Avram was thrown into the fires. That's the Lashon of Ur Kastim, the flames, the fiery furnace of Kastim. The Ramban, on this morning's parasha, points out that it can't be that Ur Kastim is actually the birthplace of Avram Avinu, and that's for numerous reasons. Among them, first of all, Avram Avinu was called Vayavo HaPolit Vayagid LaAvraham HaIvri. If he's from Ur Kasdim, you don't say HaIvri, you say Labram ha kasdi. Doesn't say that. So it says the Ramban. Ramban has some other proofs that Ur Kasdim was an event. Says the Ramban, it was not a location, it was an event. And says the Ramban something fascinating. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani Hashem, Hashem would say, Sicha me Ur Kasdim. How do you say, I took you, I brought you? L'kachticha, l'kach. I took you, I brought you. What's Hotzeh? Hotzeh is a lashon of extraction. I extracted you. Not just I took you. I extracted you from Ur Kasdim. And what does the pasuk continue to say? I extracted you from this experience called Ur Kasdim. Meaning, says Ramban, that extraction from Ur Kasdim is what made Avram deserve to get Eretz Canaan. So we have something that Ur Kasdim is at the same time an extracting event where Hashem saved him from some terrible whatever it might be, and that's at the same time it was also the cause for Avram Avinu's deservance of being the recipient of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, of course, Rabban says it must have been Ur Kasdim was the paradigm, the incredible Nisayon of Avram Avinu needing to make that choice to enter the Kivshan Ha'esh, which he did. And Rabbeinu B'chayi there adds a little bit onto what the Ramban says. I think with the idea of what Ur Kasdim was for Avram Avinu, we could understand what a Nisayon is, and we could understand perhaps what Nisayonos are in our lives. And I think we'll finish with how that I think we could learn a lot from our Chaver, Kiva Shammai's incredible Avoda. Rabbeinu B'chayi says that he looked through Tanakh and he found that the word Ur means fire or flame, as we just pointed out. But there are other psukim in Tanakh where Ur means either a valley or Ur means a mountain. So if it means a fire, so it's the Chazal that we're familiar with, that Avraham Avinu was thrown into a fire, a Kibshon Ha'esh, and because of his belief, his monotheistic leaning, so thrown into Kibshon Ha'esh. Says Rabbeinu B'chayi, but if that's not what Ur means, if Ur means a mountain, so this can be the same story. If there was some pagan god, I'm sorry, some pagan king doesn't like Avraham Avinu's, you know, beliefs in Yichud Hashem and locked him up in a mountaintop, in a fortress on a mountaintop. Or if Ur doesn't mean fire nor mountain, but rather means the valley, it means, says Rabbeinu B'chayi, that this pagan king, who again didn't like Avram, threw him in a dungeon in some valley somewhere. Three definitions of the word Ur: fire, mountain, and valley. And I think that whichever one we take, I think perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he wrote the Torah, deliberately choosing the ambiguity, deliberately choosing this ambiguous word Ur to represent Avram Avinu's Nisayon, perhaps is teaching us that there are three different ways that there could be a Nisayon, three different ways that a person could perceive a Nisayon. There's a Nisayon of Esh, there's a Nisayon of a mountain, and there's a Nisayon of a valley. And perhaps what it means is the following. There's one Nisayon, which is Esh. It's a dramatic, a momentous occasion where a person makes that decision, I'm going to jump in, a Yetzirah just pops in front of a person. A person has a momentary decision. Yes, no, and that's it. That's the ability to jump into a Kivshon Ha'esh. There's another Nisayon, and that's a Nisayon of a mountain. You're plodding along in life, and all of a sudden you see, looming in front of you, a gigantic mountain, and you start climbing and climbing, and eventually a person perseveres and reaches the summit, and when they reach the summit, they can finally look down and say, wow, look what I've accomplished. This Yetzirah that was standing before me of this Har, I've reached the pinnacle, I've put it behind me, and goes on in life with that Yetzirah, that Nisayon behind them. And then there's a third kind of Nisayon, and that's the Nisayon of a valley. What do you do in a valley? A valley is a place, that's where you have your fields in the valley. You don't put a field on a mountainside, it's not economical. You plow the field, then you plant the seeds in the field, then you till the soil, then you water it, and you take care of it, and then at the end of the season you harvest. What do you do after you harvest? You start the cycle again. And you plant the seeds, and you plow, and you till, and you water, and you harvest, and again and again and again. The avoda, the nisayon of a field, is that avoda, is that nisayon that you never really put it behind you. It's not a momentary of aish, it's not even the climbing up a mountain, it's the continuous life avoda. The same way the Gemara Bracha says, the Torah, the Avodah, the Rambam says in one of his Ksavim, that for a person to reach, for me, says the Rambam, I think he's talking about himself, to reach a level of being able to concentrate for an entire Shemona Esrei is a lifetime's avoda. Make us feel good, because, you know, we're spacing out all over the place. It's not just us, you know, people like the Ramon. It's a lifetime avoda. There's some avodas that's a lifetime. Torah, tefillah, Rice and Tom, you can never say, you know, I did my chesed for my lifetime. I had to accomplish when it comes to chesed. You know, Torah, I got there. I'm there. I'm set to go. No. These are the different avodas, different nisyonos. And when I think of, you know, Kivi, that he sort of took all the avodos that we just described and put them into one. I want to share some of my own very vivid images that are in my mind. And I'll tell you one of them that I think I was the only other one there, so I was the only one to see it, but it's just an image that sits in my mind. Those of you who remember Kivi, the way he learned, he used to sit cross-legged, right, at the Gemara, cross-legged, and with his back was stiff because of, you know, his surgery, so he would have his unique shuckle. And Friday night, we were learning in Shmuel Miller's yeshiva. You weren't there because you, no ladies section Friday night. And after the meal in the winter, so you get there 7 o'clock after the meal. Aaron Price's meal is always later than the Orleans, so let's say he came 7:30, I came 7, he came 7. And 8 o'clock, and 9 o'clock, and just the shuckle continue. Hour after hour, I'd leave 11, 11:30, and, you know, just continuing that perspective of what it means to have that, you know, there's a Rambam. I remember when we got out of the freezer in Lakewood, so Matasio Solomon used to tell us the following, he used to say the following, I don't know if he said it every year, but when I was in Lakewood, he said the following Rambam that he wanted to point out to all the boys who are leaving the freezer and starting in their new parasha. He says, the Rambam writes that, I don't remember the exact lash, and the Rambam writes that HaKol Chayavim B'Tamei Torah, Bein Asher, Bein Ani, Bein Bachur, Bein Bal Banim, Bein Tzad, Bari, Bein Chola. And the Rambam Tzitzio's point is, why does the Rambam have to say Bein Bachur? I mean, that's the person who doesn't have any responsibilities. All the other things that people have a difficult time learning, and Rambam Tzitzio says that every person at their tzkufa in life has their own challenges in learning, and nevertheless, the Rambam was trying to tell us that we each have to do what we can in whatever life circumstances we find ourselves. That being said, clearly, the lesson that I think so many of us drew from Akiva Shammai is the ability, I mean, first of all, the ability to focus, and again, just picturing that like a pendulum, again, he used to, I don't know if you learned in the house, but that pendulum back and forth, but given Bein Chola, Bein Bari, given whatever was going on in his mind, whatever he felt, whatever difficulties that he endured for those years, to see somebody endure that and go what he's gone through, forget about not his emunah not being shaken, but to have the and the zitzfleisch and the concentration, but to have the ability and the ratzon to reach a godless of hasmada, a godless of involvement, of complete being shakua in his learning, was, it's an incredible thing that I think is a lesson, an important lesson for us. Chovos HaLevavos says something that I don't like saying, and I'm very careful when I would say it because it could be understood the wrong way, and I hope I don't nobody should take it in the wrong way, but Chovos HaLevavos deals with the question of tzaddikim who endure suffering, who endure difficult situations. And one of the things he says, among numerous things, and again, please don't take it in the wrong way, is that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends challenges specifically to tzaddikim. Because, says Chovos HaLevavos, when the people around that person see a tzaddik continuing to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite whatever difficulties they have, that's a mechayev. That tells the whole people, all the people around them, all the chaverim, all the friends, all the acquaintances, wow, this is, you know, if that person could do it, what is my responsibility? If that person could do it, what's my expectation? And that's just something that's been, you know, running through my mind as, you know, in the years that I can't believe it's 6 years already. I really can't believe it's 6 years already. There's another thought that I want to sort of finish with, and that is 2 points. One is, you know, I think when we were younger, Kiva was never the center of the party. But after he got sick, he really became the center of the party. Not just because he got attention, because, you know, he had his sicknesses, but he was just he got his self confidence, and his, you know, lively, you know, upbeat, positive personality he inherited from somebody in this room, possibly. He became a, there was a simcha that every, that being with him brought a simcha. I heard an incredible vart, one liner tonight. Rav Shapir from Florida spoke about Shulah Shal Shudas. He said an incredible, beautiful vart from the Baal Shem Tov. The parasha begins this week. Tzohar Tasela Teva. Rashi in the second explanation. Tzohar is not a window, but Tzohar is a some gem, some luminous, illuminating, valuable, precious stone that gives off light. Tasela Teva, so you could have light in the Teva Sinoach, and the people in the Teva could have light. The Baal Shem Tov that he quoted says the following: what does the word Teva mean? Teva means an ark, right? A boat. But Teva also means a word. Tzohar Tasela Teva. When you're going to say a word, when we speak, make sure that it's not just for nothing, it's a gem. When you have something to say to somebody, make somebody else feel good with it. When you have something to say, bring a smile to somebody's face. If there's ever somebody who knew how to always make people feel good, always make people want to be with them, always make me, you know, I was older than him, but I still, whenever I had those interactions, I would always feel that that simcha of wanting to be connected and wanting to, that feeling good about, you know, having a conversation, or one, you know, we always had great one-liners, but they're always in a way that would, you know, make you smile, make you feel good. When I he got married before I did, and I remember how much he tried, you know, to set me up. He and his Chasher Rebbe would work so hard to you know set me up in my years in that parsha. And that amelus batora, that simchas hachayim despite all, and that simchas hachayim that he, Chazal talk about the Eliyahu Navi meeting in the shuk, being asked who are these people who have bnei olam habai, and the two people respond, anshei b'dichei anon smechem esamchem esabrios. Akiva was that person who, despite everything, incredibly was that person who was not just sameach, given all the circumstances, but also Nesameach es Habrios. And one other image that I have to share, because again, it was a private moment, and most nobody here was there. Maybe it was an private moment. So I remember when Kiva was in 19th Street, in the house opposite my house on 19th Street, and it was Rosh Hashanah. And I remember Dr. Aaron Price, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, coming in, and Kiva, the doctors assumed he wasn't. Didn't really hear. That's what they assumed. And the shoka, your husband, Olam Hashalom, coming with his shofar. And I always loved, I always loved the gigantic shofars that are always, you know, I always nervous I'd break them, because I, you know, when you weren't looking, we would hold them. So the truth has to come out at some point. A lot of other things we won't talk about, but ever. But the, you know, blowing the shofar, you know, there's a mitzvah to do. Kiddush has to be made. A shofar has to be blown. And you know, to think of Akiva without thinking of Dr. Aaron Price, that's all, doesn't, you think, and what is also, but as I was thinking about that, I was, you know, thinking or being reminded of the public tzadik be'emunaso yichya. Emuna, which is what I think Dr. Aaron Price, in his dealing with the challenges of taking care of Kiva's situation in the last few years, brought a level of emuna, and that was just so elevating, and I think instructing to me, and I think to all of us who were able to see that and had a zechus, an edification, to be edified by seeing that. And tzad b'emunaso yichya, it's in present tense, because that chiyus, that life, that a person who lives with that emuna doesn't leave when a person's body might leave this world. That emuna stays with the person. That's yichya, that's forever. And that emuna that Dr. Aaron Price demonstrated, that Kivi lived with, and that is so absorbed into the walls of this house, you know, impacted the people who came into the house, impacted all of us who were zocha to nourish ourselves from that emuna. And we had a Gemara and Brachos. We had a Gemara on Shabbos afternoon, and I just want to finish with one line, the Gemara and Brachos, that struck me from what we were learning. And towards the very end of the Masechta, the Gemara says, quotes a pasuk from Mishle, that a person who is lackadaisical, hisrapisa, somebody who has rifion, right? Like Rafi Deiman HaTorah, somebody who's lackadaisical in their Talmud Torah, hisrapisa biyom tzarat tzar kochacha, that person, the way some of the Achronim explain, will not be able to enjoy on the Yom Tzara. What is the Yom Tzara? As Achronim explain, Yom Tzara is referring to the Yom of Tchias HaMeisim. Somebody who is hisrapisa in their learning, somebody who has a rifyon, who's weak in their learning, who's not dedicated, who's not committed, that person will have a challenge, will have a difficult time on the Yom of Tchias HaMeisim. And if that's the case, then clearly the inverse is so obvious that somebody who is not just an incredible, aside from being a Talmud Chacham and highly intelligent, but that's just a gift that he had, but working and with such avoda, with such hatsmada and dedication, imagine the simcha when we will all be zocha together to that moment, that Tchias HaMeisim, and see the incredible schar, not just schar, but the incredible chiyus that Kivi, you know, lived with and engendered to us and impacted on us. And we all are the beneficiaries, directly or indirectly, for me, exceptionally directly, I think most people directly, very much so. And that doesn't go away, that emuna, that Simchas HaChaim, to teach us, if Kivi could do it and Kivi could learn like that, what is expected of us, that ideal ability to face a nisayon, whether it's jumping in, whether it's climbing the mountain, whether it's that amuna moment after moment after moment that doesn't stop, all those characterizations of nisyonos that we might face, that Kivi faced them all, looked them in the face, and climbed and was victorious in them, that should be an inspiration to all of us. And it's really zechus. I haven't been around for the past, I was never part of this chabura, and I'm very grateful that Rav Ephraim invited me here, because once I walk in this door, once I pull up the block, I feel so at home. And I think after people leave, I'll be heading to the kitchen, and there better be something on top of that fridge. And Yehi Zichro Baruch, and we should continue to carry the Simchas HaChaim, the Ahavas HaTorah, for many years, till we are zocha to that moment, to be once again reunited and enjoy that panim al panim, that avoda, that Akiva has taught us.
Can I please say thank you, thank you very much for coming in, Lawrence, such a short notice, and we want to thank everyone for coming out here tonight. Certainly, our chaver Kivi, Rabbi Akiva Shammai, Ben Rabbi Eliezer Zichron Levracha, after 6 years, is in a very, very high place. Chazal say, Yelchu Mechayel L'Chayel, the Koyach of Torah allows the person to go higher and higher and higher. And especially when he's building upon the foundation of the impact of Torah that he has given to all of us, his chaverim, all over the world, you can't even begin to imagine where he is now, 6 years later. And certainly with that comes the added benefit that in that position of power, he has even greater power to be a melitz yosher for every single one of his chaverim here, for his mishpacha, for his daughter Eti, for his mother, and mishpacha, the chaverim, to be mevakish and beribayim shalaylam, yeshuais, techomais, senechais, v'chol mili demetav. Thank you very much for coming, and please stay and enjoy a tikkun, lava malka, to make a bracha for Zekivi, a good vach, a good chodesh, and a good yar, chol tov.